So, Paulette, I want to read you an email from a patron. What do you say?
Let's do it.
And as always, just as a caveat, I always use my judgment regarding what to read from their emails because I want to mask people's identity if they're sensitive material. So there's sensitive material in this email, and I'm going to mask their identity. She writes, "Hi to the Psychology in Seattle folks."
It's us.
That's us. "I discovered you about a month and a half ago, and I'm becoming a fan. Ooh. I've come to respect Kirk's opinions, and although I don't share all of them,
ooh,
it's always interesting to hear what he has to say. And I just became a patron.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know what you think about this. I'm a 33-year-old female."
Me too.
Oh. Is this you? Did you write in?
No.
Okay. "I've been in therapy for several years with both male and female therapists. About 3 or 4 months ago, I started therapy with a male therapist who I really liked. I was going through a recent breakup and some professional difficulties. He seemed to be a very empathetic, compassionate, and insightful person, and with a great sense of humor. I really felt like he walked with me through my fears. In several occasions, he mentioned that he really appreciated my deep emotional nature, and he was honored to work with me. After going through so many therapists and not finding the right one, finding him felt like bliss. At the end of the first session, he told me I was a smart, personable, beautiful woman, and that I had many things coming my way. The female therapist I saw prior to him made almost the same comment, so I thought that I was dealing with the same approach. Starting from the second session to the last session, he would always make the same two comments about me, that I felt very deeply, and that I was very sensual. When we continued to develop a closer and closer relationship that was moving very quickly, and I also cried a lot during these sessions. There were times when I would rest my elbows on my knees and my face on my hands during a breakdown of crying, and he would come sit next to me, and the next session, he would hold my hand, and the next session, he would rub my arm and my feet." Any comments on that, Paulette?
And my feet?
Yeah. Does that seem interesting to you?
That seems interesting.
"Something felt wrong to me, but I was enjoying it and didn't want to do anything about it." I mean, who doesn't enjoy a good foot rub, right? "One day while I was crying again, he sat on the floor right next to me and rubbed the lower half of my legs. Then he came to sit next to me on the couch and asked me for a hug, and I honored his request. Soon he was lying on the couch and surrounding me with his arms." Any thoughts about that?
Lying on the couch? And
so,
like
spooning her or something?
This seems so weird.
Yeah. "The next session, I went into the room feeling really sad about him, and I felt very uncomfortable."
Yeah, no shit.
"He noticed this, and he asked what was going on, but I lied and just said that I only had a headache. He tilted forward in his chair and pressed my calf," which I'm trying to imagine why and how that looked, "and a few minutes later, kissed me next to my knees."
Kissed what?
"Kissed me next to my knees."
Kissed me next to my knees.
Yeah.
"Kissed me next to my knees."
"He then asked to come sit next to me and soon held me in a way similar to the prior session." So the...
This is way too much physical contact.
Basically cuddling.
Cuddling.
"He said that if we met under different circumstances, he would chase me and he would beg me to have coffee with him. He said that he wanted me to know that he would always be there for me and that he wanted me to be empowered to ask him to back off or get closer at my will."
Oh, my God.
"I asked him if he was tempted, and he said yes. And my bad, I know. When I asked him why he found me beautiful, he responded that the proportions of my breast, waist, hip made him go, wow, and that the proportions of my face were flawless, and that he really liked my mouth and my eyes." So
the smooth operator we got here. "I find your waist to be 33% smaller than your hips, which I enjoy."
What should she have done in this situation, Paulette?
My God. Well, we've discussed this. I think this is getting extremely unprofessional, and she should have left right then, probably. Ugh, I hate when a guy puts you in a bad situation like that, and especially in such a high trust situation as a therapist. No, no, no bueno.
Well, let's go on with her email.
Oh, my.
That was the last time I saw him.
Good.
I'd love to hear your opinion. He was great at the beginning, and that makes things very difficult for me. The few weeks after I ended therapy, I had to fight my love feelings for him every day. That's why I haven't filed a complaint to the licensing board. This whole situation feels so unfair. I went to him for help and paid privately, and today I'm out of a couple thousand dollars and I can't act freely. What do you think about that?
Oh, it's so sad. I think it's so sad how many people in this country either feel or are, I want to say disenfranchised from their rights, but is that a right word, use of the word disenfranchised?
Yeah, that's a loose.
Okay, loose.
Loose usage.
They're like, they have a lack of power over their own lives because they're just scared to get kicked out of this country for, and I think that gets
exploited.
It gets exploited a lot by people, and that's really sad. I don't know. That sounds, what do you think she should do?
Well, today, in this episode, I'm going to give my advice to her.
Ooh.
I'm also going to provide a brief history of therapist-client sexual relationships, along with the research, the ethical codes, the legal consequences, the impact on the client, and what sort of therapists tend to have sex with their clients. Because this guy was
sexy
clear.
Ones.
This yeah.
Just kidding.
This client was clearly, or this therapist was clearly going down that road, right?
Yeah.
Welcome to the Psychology in Seattle podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I am chair of the Couple and Family Therapy Program, and I'm also a licensed marriage and family therapist.
I am writer and American layperson, Paulette Perhatch.
This episode is just for patrons of the podcast. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this and you're not a patron of the podcast, this episode will end before the content begins. If you want to hear the full episode, which I guarantee it's going to be a good one, you have to become a patron of the podcast by going to patreon.com. That's patreon.com. Patrons get access to all premium episodes on their phones or on the Patreon page. And remember that 20% of your monthly pledge goes towards various charities that we support.